hear your voice like a whisper in the breeze. I feel your presence as you're dancing over me. So I run through the meadows of your love just to find you, just to find you.
Well, let's see. I don't even know where to have you turn this morning. Let me see what the first my first scripture is. No, I tell you what. John chapter 4. Just turn to John chapter 4. That'll be one of the first places where we... And the reason I'm this way is I felt like we were done last week with that area of the authority and taking the authority over the enemy to steal his, to take away his rights to that oppression, that bondage that he tries to bring on us. And so I did feel like we were done in that area. But in that process of being done with that, you know, where do you go from here? What do you do? There's a lot of ideas, a lot of thoughts. I've had one thought going through my mind most of the week. And so I've probably taught on it several times and I didn't know where to go. So the Lord kind of, well, through process. Matter of fact, I sat down this morning and I kind of knew where I was going, but I just started typing and the Holy Ghost really guided me. So we're going to get to where we're going. Hallelujah. All right, here we go. Ready? Start now. many Christians are not in that place, and I what I have seen are a lot of Christians not at that place where they're enjoying life. They're not enjoying their relationship with God. They're not enjoying their Christianity. They're not enjoying going to church. They're not enjoying that. One of our churches had a person in their body who was like one of the only people in their whole body that really was in that place of being a teacher and was teaching on a weekly basis in their church. And she just sent a text message to her pastor and said, "I'm out of here." She said, I don't regret anything from my past. I don't regret my past, but I'm never coming back." And won't return his phone calls. He doesn't know what happened. No, and that's just is the end of it. It's done with it. Well, you know, you can say there are a lot of things. Offense probably is part of it, or whether it be offended at God, offended at the pastor, offended at whatever. But what it comes down to is that is a place that happens because you're not enjoying your Christianity. You're not enjoying your life. A lot of Christians are at that place. At that place where it feels like their Christianity or church in and of itself, I mean, you could say God in and of itself, prayer time, whatever, more interferes with their life. I got a lot of stuff going on. I got this, I got that, I got the other. And so it's like Christianity or their relationship with God or God himself or the church just is getting in the way of all that kind of stuff. It's more of a nuisance. And so anything that's a nuisance eventually is going to get removed. And so it's a dangerous place to be at. It's a dangerous place for us to live at. Christianity becomes, for most people, little more than fire insurance. And I know we've heard that before, but they don't want to go to hell. They want to try to keep God happy. So they'll show up to church. They'll keep reading their Bible. They'll keep praying a little bit here. Right. And so they, and you know what I found out? I don't know about you guys. I get annoyed with insurance. There's one of them, Allstate, I think it is. Their commercials always say that if you have not used the insurance or not been in a wreck in every 6 months or something like that, you get some money back. And I don't know anybody, Allstate. But that's their thing on TV, that you get money back if you don't use. And I think, shouldn't that be all insurances? whether it be house insurance, whether it be car insurance, whether it be life insurance. If you haven't died in 10 years, they should give you a little bit of that money back. You know, I've been doing pretty good, or, you know, I didn't die this year. Can't give me some of that money back. Cause, car insurance is the big one, because for us, for our family of four, it's about $300 a month, which is wow. And we don't ever use it. Jesse and I, the only time we ever used our car insurance, the only time we ever did, is somebody hit us. We're not at fault, and they didn't have any insurance, and our insurance says we'll take care of you, which good thing we had it, right? But that's the only time we've never gotten in a wreck. We've never done anything like that. Neither of our kids have ever gotten in wrecks. And yet they're just taking our money and piling it high and paying for their endorsements of college football games and all that kind of, you know what I'm saying? I don't lie. Every day, every month that I have to write that check and make that payment to that, it just annoys me. No one likes dealing with insurance. And so when Christians just start treating their Christianity like fire insurance, keep them rescued from hell, it's going to really easily become annoying to them. Amen. I told you, I just sat down and started typing and these sort of things. And if you start looking, because of this attitude that is prevalent throughout the church world, church attendance is going down across the board. It's decreasing. Finances are decreasing. People's interest in the Word of God is decreasing. Their trust in the Word of God is decreasing. And Scriptures, I think, makes it pretty clear that the kingdom of God is advancing. The kingdom of God is to be increasing. The kingdom of God is to be going upwards and not backwards. But yet we're living in a society, living at a time where it seems to be decreasing. We're missing something, beloved. We're missing something. And again, I know many of you here maybe are like, oh no, I'm cool. But there may be many of you here are going, yeah, I've felt that. I've felt that I just feel like, you know, church, I gotta do it. Just got to do it. Got a busy week, but I got to be at church, you know. And so that is not, there's something missing with us in that. Now, in my study, I'll spend time reading things and pulling stuff out, and I read quips and quotes from different pastors. And I read a pastor, and it was just a simple list. There wasn't an article or anything like it. It was just a list he wrote of secrets that he found to a happy life. That if you'll follow these things, these simple things, and he had a couple of them on there, that you're going to find that these are what's missing. These things are what's missing with people that are not happy with where they're at. And I started reading through it, and I started meditating on it, thinking the Holy Spirit gave me a couple extra on it. And I started thinking, you know what, I wrote all these things down and began, I made a list, and the list is growing. But as I meditated on it, I began to understand that these areas, or lack of understanding in these areas are the reasons that church membership, church participation, the kingdom of God has been decreasing instead of increasing. Now again, I'm not saying, because I know there's places where the kingdom of God is increasing. Don't get me wrong in that. I'm not saying because we understand, but there is a temptation, even in churches that have got it going on, they're replacing the move of God with entertainment. There's a church that, I love what they're doing. It seems like they're reaching a lot of people. They're doing a lot of outreaches, a lot of stuff like that. They're friends with the Copelands. But when you see any videos of their church, every one of their, I mean, they had one sermon where their object lesson is they brought in this big almost circus type thing where people are doing acrobats and stuff like that to bring a point, and I'm like, okay, I get object lessons. I'm not against object lessons. I've used object lessons. But if that has to be, if that's representing the move of God, we're missing it. But that's how the church is coming. If it's not entertainment, if it's not quick, if it's not concise. So that's the one thing with me, is that I understand that if I shortened my messages and made them more visual, and look, if there's anybody that would like to do visual sermons where you had videos and made videos and had things where you were, you know, short, sweet, let's show a video, let's minister on that video, and then we'll get it. If there's anybody, that's me. I love that kind of stuff. I love doing it for the youth group. I love pulling stuff off the internet. I love that kind of stuff. You know me enough. I'd make a few videos if that's what the Holy Spirit had me do. But he's not. He's told me to equip the body. My job is to feed the flock, amen, not to entertain the flock. And when we become more about entertaining the flock, we're getting weak flocks. There is no replacement. Excuse me, my mustache is curling up there. There is no replacement for grass, for sheep. Hey guys, I know there's a lot of dirt all around, but watch me. I'm going to do a dance for you. Woo! You know, and he entertains the hunger away. No, the hunger's still there. The lack of direction is still there. Either you're a shepherd that leads them to green pastures and leads them by still waters and keeps them strong and keeps the parasites away from them and helps them, or you're not a shepherd. You're an entertainer. And I'm not picking on any one church. I'm just simply saying that is the culture. We were talking about it a couple weeks ago in our ministry team meeting. And that's really what started getting this thing on me, is that we're in a culture of where entertainment is more valuable in the church. Why? Because it's more important to get people in the doors of the church and have them say a prayer, no matter how they live outside there, to get them inside the doors of the church and have them say a prayer, than it is to really feed them. And I want you to know something, that when you get people in by using tricks and things like that, you're going to keep them by using tricks. And once the tricks wear off, they'll wear off. And so this list that this man had brought up and showed to me, or had shown on there, just got me thinking about things that the church that's missing. And I'm just calling this series, and this is going to be a legit series, Secrets of Enjoying Life. Not real good secrets, because they're really clear in the Bible. But if you will learn the secrets of these, if you'll learn these things in your life, it's going to help you to enjoy your life. Enjoy your... And when I talk about life, I'm not talking about just home life. I'm talking about your life with God is going to increase. You're going to have a passion for the house of God, for the things of God, for the move of God, if you'll understand these areas better and work on them in your life. So over the next couple of weeks, we're going to go through several of these areas. Again, I don't know how long it is. Could be 5 weeks, could be 10 weeks, could be 25 weeks. I don't know. Probably not going to be 25 weeks. But there's just a few things that I really want to go through. And there may be some points, like this morning, we're going to get going in an area, and you know, I'm already 15, 20 minutes into my message, so we're going to go into an area and barely, that's why I'm saying we're not getting to our text for quite a while here, because we're getting our mouth watered in what we're doing here. But next week we'll get into a lot of the more stuff regarding this. I went 7 pages on my notes, so that gives you an idea of why I'm telling you. Like this one, probably going to take a couple weeks to get this one area. But this is also the area that the Holy Spirit has been speaking to me about for a little over a week. And there may be some that we may group up in one sermon. There's a couple that we group in. It just as the Holy Spirit directs us. So number one, and again, these are secrets to enjoying life, to enjoying your Christian walk, to enjoying this. If you learn these things, and number one, I if I was a really good pastor, I had some really clever title for this, but I've just titled number one, Praise and Worship. And I guess you could say understanding the value and the purpose and the plan for praise and worship. And again, way too long, and I think I said it at the end of worship, is that way too often our praise and worship becomes the stuff that we do. Well, I better clap my hands. Now again, everything that God says, I enjoy finding facts on what God, how God says, God says, here's how you praise me. Okay, here's how you praise the Lord. You look up clapping your hands, shouting, dancing, singing, and every one of them have healthy benefits to you physically. They'll lower blood pressure. They'll boost your immune system. They will have the one that was on there for singing. It will help sleep apnea and snoring. I thought, wow, that's crazy. But see, God just said, you do these kind of things. This is how you praise and worship me. And is it for His benefit? No, it's for your benefit. You understand that we don't worship God, and I know I'm already out of order. I'm down my nose. We don't worship God to appease Him. He is not some mythological creature that gets his, makes himself extra, feel extra special about himself because the creatures come and begin worshiping him. He is God because he is God. We worship him for our sake. Well, let's get into this here. Amen. Oh, I told you I just typed, right? Did I tell you that already? So the Holy Spirit was guiding my fingers and I got done. And I told Jessica, I said, I think that's about describes what I said to her. Because one of my greatest frustrations as a pastor and as a worship leader, because I operate as both of them here, all right, I'm going to say it the way it gave. Is it okay if I say it the way? I don't want to say it the way I wrote it down, but I'm going to. One of my greatest frustrations as a pastor and as a worship leader, because I operate as in both, is the lack of promptness in some cases, the lack of participation in others, the lack of respect in praise and worship. Praise and worship is nothing. We start out service with singing. This is what we do. I'm just going to keep saying it, okay? And some of y'all picked a bad day just to be late, okay? I know you usually aren't, but just understand. Don't put on the shame, all right? I'm going to say it the way it kept coming to me. But many people treat praise and worship merely as the opening act for the sermon. That it's the warm-up exercises for the main event. That if I'm late, if I don't show up for it, it's no big deal. Many times, and again, I'm not necessarily saying about ours at all, okay, but many times musicians and sound operators and those people involved in the thing, find themselves exempt, or should I say exempt themselves from entering into worship because they're working. I work my hardest at, I was telling Jessica this on the way to church today, that opening song that we sing, David Crowder, awesome musician, he starts it with this part on the piano going, you know, and twinkling his fingers. And I told Jessica, I said, I didn't want you to do that. I said to her, I wasn't going to make you do that. She goes, you ain't going to make me do nothing. I said, no, that's not what I meant. I said, I didn't want you to do that because I don't want there to be the pressure on you guys to have to play the right notes. I mean, and again, I want you to play the right notes, but I don't want you to have so much pressure to have to perform that you forget about why you're up there, what we're doing. There's times where I get lost and I sing wrong words and I do wrong things because I'm not thinking about the performance aspect of it. I'll get going and I'll start thinking about His goodness. I start thinking about, Lord, what do You have for me? What are You speaking to me? And I'll realize I just sang the wrong line. And I would much rather, again, I would much rather our band become more, and I'm not saying they're not, please understand this, but be more worship focused than performance focused. And again, I say that about ours. I want that, and I think we have that, but there's a lot of churches where, man, I because of my timeline, because of the things that I already watch, you know, if you start watching on your Facebook videos of people getting in fights, you're going to all of a sudden find just, you know, video after video after video of people getting in fights. Or if you're a sports person and you're crazy last second shots, you'll find on your they'll have, look at this crazy last second shot. And they'll get you sucked into watching crazy last shot. Well, I do a lot of ministry videos. And so when I'm going through there, up on mine will pop a lot of different question answers from different worship venues where they're teaching classes. And like one of them says, how far previous to your set, it annoys me when they call worship services sets. They do. It's very popular now. How much previous to your set do you get them their lists? And there were those that said, well, a week's about as the shortest I get to them. Sometimes I try to do more in the week. I'm like, okay, well, that's good for you. But he said, we want them to practice over it and get really good at it and do all that kind of stuff. Look, man, I'd probably do a better job of clicking it and sending it to, if we're doing a new song, I do that with our band members. But I'm, you know, they're fortunate to get one by the time they show up here on Sunday morning. And so most of them have to rely on the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying I'm perfect, but I would prioritize the move of God much more than over the performance. And if you're in the flow, you can have both. And really, that's honestly where we find ourselves pretty much all the time, is that when you're in the flow, you just, things go better than you ever thought they could. But a lot of times they, and again, I've seen it. I've seen people that I'm a musician. I just have to do this. One of my favorite, and this I love Brother John. I'm not comparing anything to him. One of my favorite band members to hear play is Brandon Redding, and for certain reasons, you know, Pastor Brandon, he's no longer Pastor Brandon, but when he played the drums over in Lexington, he knew the flow of his parents. He knew the And when he would get into praise and worship, he would do things in praise and worship that were such a natural outflow that it would intensify just and on the drums. Now the drums are meant for just keeping the beat. No. It's an anointing. It's an anointing. And he would do things on the drums that would simply. There was one time I walked in there. And I didn't realize he was there, and we're in the middle of praise and worship, and I recognized there was something intensified in the worship, and their guitar player was the same, their worship leaders were the same, their bass player was the same, their rhythm guitar, and I was like, what? And I just looked at Jessica and I said, Brandon's here. And I looked back there, and he was, and there was a different anointing again, because he didn't show up days before and perfect everything. He was led by the Spirit and operated under the anointing in that praise and worship. And so again, John does that there. And I'm not saying it's just that if I can throw this out there, that the lack of promptness, the lack of participation, the lack of respect in praise and worship is a reason why people get bogged down with church. Amen. And becomes no more than just an opening act, just something I have to do. And again, we're going to get into some stuff. A lot of this is flowing right here because the Holy Spirit was talking to me about it this morning. But when you respect and honor, when here is right, and you respect and honor praise and worship, then there's going to be an anticipation. I've got to get there. Now, again, I know Wednesday night, I think it was Wednesday night, Karen said she was late, and she said, I would have been late, but I said, I didn't want to be late, but if I left on time, I could have been right in the middle of a big wreck that happened right in front of me. And look, I get that. I get there that things like that go on. So there's sometimes the devil can say, Pastor's talking right at you because you were late that one time, or you were late this morning, right? And that's not what I'm dealing with here. And you'll understand it. You'll recognize it more as I get into this thing. That I'm not just picking on people because they're late. There's a heart issue. There's an atmospheric issue that is keeping people from really understanding the value of what we do at the beginning of services. What we're doing at the beginning of services. People can be standing right in the middle of an awesome presence of the movement of mighty God and be missing it altogether because this is a song service. They are taking part in something that God has set up to change us, to transform us, to impart into us, to win battles for us, and they're missing it all. When people truly are worshiping the Lord, then praise is flowing from where it's supposed to flow. Let me say, when praise is flowing from where it is to flow, then you're going to know. You will know. All right. So when praise is flowing from where it's supposed to go, flow, and not be a matter of, all right, don't raise your hands. This is a rhetorical question. Think about it inside. Has the thought ever come through your mind, I'm going to be a little bit late for service because I don't want to be there? Now, I'm not saying, again, if it is, it is. If it's not, it's not. This thought just hit me that I want to be a little bit late because I don't want to be there for the rambunctious songs. Because I have to stand and clap my hands, and Pastor Thad sometimes shouts and hoots and we sing songs of dancing and shouting, and I don't really want to feel the pressure, and I want to get in there for the calmer songs. I know. Didn't mean to read your mail. But what I'm saying is that when the praise is flowing from the right place, you're going to know. Why? Because they'll be there, ready to go. I got it. We got to worship. Nothing else could ever be as important. Now, again, I understand work. You get scheduled to a certain spot, and your office is in Paris, right? And so if she's got appointments scheduled to a certain time, she can't be here until a certain, you know. I'm not saying that. But there's times that we let family stuff and dinner stuff and extra stuff get in our way. But see, when your heart's where it's supposed to be, when things are where it's supposed to be, there'll be nothing more important than praise and worship. People, when you're in that spot, people will be attentive and participants no matter what's happening. I understand that children are an issue. I know. I understand children issues. Now we tell during praise when we're celebrating, if your child is shouting, it's okay, they can join the club. I don't think any of us get because we're celebrating what God is, and if we can celebrate, why can't your kid shout, right? So I understand that children can be, well, I don't want them to interrupt. You're not interrupting. Matter of fact, it is good for children. You say, but they won't sit still. That's your job. Is have them, during praise and worship, they don't need to sit still. I'll go ahead and jump around with them. That's okay. Teach them that it's okay to dance in church. When things get a little bit slower, it's okay. It's okay for them to sit, to be held, to do whatever, and to be familiar with the presence of God. It's okay. But they just don't do a good job. Again, that's our job as parents, is to teach them to do a good job. But then I know that there are times, and we've all experienced those times with our kids, or you've seen the times with other kids, and that's why we have children's workers. That's why on Sunday nights Jessica does children's class, and she's always attentive to kids that are starting to get wound up, and she will take them out. And again, I understand, like Phoenix is still young, where she needs mama every now and then, that the rest of us can't do that. But if Pastor Jessica can take them back there, and then the rest of us can just stand here and not worry about it. And then on Wednesdays, I think Megan goes back there. It's the same thing with her, is that she can do that. But it's okay for kids to be in here. Don't ever, and again, I'm not saying anybody does, don't ever let your kids be a reason why you don't make it to worship. Ever. I don't want to get too much more into that, but let them see you worship. They're going to get a lot of a lot of what's expected in worship from watching you. Pastor Thad's a goofball. He'll do weird things up on that platform. That's what he does. But out here, I stand with my hands on my side and I sing a song, because this is what I do. Because I watch mom and dad do this. I watch. Now I'm going some. Don't think I'm just got a vendetta here. I'm simply saying that the church world is, this is becoming commonplace throughout the church world. That praise and worship is no more than just a little bit of a process, just a quick little thing that we do just to get it done. Opening act. And beloved, if that's all it is, it's going to get worn out quick. I can't help. But when I started getting in praise and worship this morning, it got thick quick. And that doesn't happen just because I'm manipulating the thing. It happens from, and this is going to be a word. It's going to be what's going to kind of be our thing for tonight is that the praise up there comes from the inside out. Praise always needs to come from the inside out. when people are truly worshiping the Lord, when praise is flowing from where it's supposed to flow, musicians and those involved in the worship will prioritize the worship over the performance. Now, that does not mean that I want all of our praise band to just hit whatever notes they just choose to hit. You can look at the notes. One of my favorite things, and again, I'm just simply saying, is when I turn around and praise and worship to give a number or whatever where we're going, and to look back there and watch Jessica back there with one hand in the air and one hand playing the piano. Now, I know Steve can't pull that one off. Otherwise, he'll be playing the same chord over and over again. But you know what? And again, he's not here, so he's not. If he just had to stop for a little while playing, just to lift his hands and worship, it's not going to break Pastor Thad's heart. I love having his guitar going on there, but see, when your heart's where you're supposed to be, the instrument becomes secondary to the anointing, to the presence. Amen. Now, there are two places of worship, two places that we can focus on in worship. First of all is what I'd call your personal time, your personal when you're in your quiet place. What is it? Psalm 34, verse 1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be on my lips. That means that all the time, every part of the day, I'm going to bless the Lord. I'm going to honor Him with my life. I'm going to honor Him. I'm going to have a song of praise in my heart. Sometimes it can't be on my lips. Sometimes I can't be in halal, right? I can't be acting clamorously foolish and twirling and dancing, but I can have that praise on my heart, that reverence, understanding, recognizing that the presence of God is in me and on me at all times. When I'm in my quiet time, when I'm reading my Bible, and I'm hearing the Word of God speak, and I can turn on some praise and worship, and just have that worship going on, and I can get caught up in praise and worship. That's praising the Lord all times. That's that individual. That's you being you. That's you being with you. Again, that doesn't mean we're in full blown praise mode at all times, but it does recognize God in our lives moment by moment. And it does recognize that I can't wait from Sunday to Sunday to worship. I can't wait from Sunday to Sunday to worship. Now the second one, the two places of worship. The first place is on your own, wherever you're at. Second place is in the body of believers, and that's where we're really going to set our focus on here, because again, I believe that's what too many Christians are like. I can praise the Lord at home. You know, I got some good praise and worship CDs, and I can praise the Lord at home. I don't need to necessarily be at church to do it. But see. In that corporate worship, there's a beauty that occurs in our communion and our worship with one another, with like-minded believers. There's a depth and a strength that you can't reach on your own. And again, I'm sure that you have some areas let me throw this out. Some of you go, oh no, I get in some pretty deep times. Then it should be deeper here. It should be deeper here. And if it's not, that's a lie that the enemy's telling you. And he's trying to draw you away from enjoying the corporate worship, the worship with one another. And oh, he's working hard at that. He'll do anything to get you to miss out on praise and worship. He'll do anything. And again, that lie that says, well, it's just not as good as when I praise God on my own. It should be. It should be better because of the anointing that's operating in here. There's a depth that comes when believers join together in worship. And again, we see it time and time again that when believers join together, crazy things happen. And we'll get into that probably next week. The corporate anointing Matthew chapter 18, verse 20. And we still aren't at our text yet, right? That's okay. We're going to get there in a second. Matthew chapter 18, verse 20 says, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them." Does that mean he's not with you when you're on your own? No. But it's different when you join together with those of like precious faith. It's different. It's intensified. Why? Because God wants us joined together. Amen. If one can put 1,000 to flight, two, put 10,000 to flight. If you can put, if you can see some victories won on your with your private worship, you can see infinitely more battles won with your corporate worship. Amen. Hallelujah. Both of these areas are important. Like I said, we're going to be focused on that second one, learning the respect, reverence, and place of worship in that corporate setting. Well, let's start with praise and worship 101, okay? But you've got to get this, because this is what the Holy Spirit started showing me this morning as I was putting this on paper. I've been pulling stuff in, and he showed me this morning, and it really started changing how I viewed what we do here in praise and worship. Because again, a lot of worship ministers spend their time going, "Come on, let's clap our hands, right? Come on, let's dance. Come on, why aren't y'all dancing?" I've been in worship services where we have gotten corrected. "What is wrong with y'all? Do you not understand what God did for you? And all you're going to do is stand around and stare and just sing, and then how dare you?" And we have, as worship leaders, made it our effort to try to get people to sing, to try to get people to clap their hands, to try to get people to raise their hands, to try to get people to shout, to try to get people to dance. And when they don't, it ruins us. It ruins our day. You guys know it's not like my music very well, because you're not seeming very excited. Let me throw this out at you. If all you're looking for is what's on the outside, you're missing what God's after. Does that mean y'all don't have to clap your hands and shout and sing and dance? Oh no, okay. Praise and worship. Pray is where you give value to something. It's where you place worth. It's not merely a song. I want you to get a couple things. This is really, the reason I sat down to start with is because I really feel there's a teaching level here that's going to unlock some things, I believe, for you, because it'll unlock some stuff for me. Praise and worship is where we give value to something, and it's where you place worth. It's not merely a song. So when we come in here into our worship service, into our praise and worship service, we're not coming into just a song service. Those are two words I don't like. I don't like it. "Oh, the song service today was great." No. You missed it. You missed it if you thought this was a song service. This was a praise and worship service. Praise and worship, here you go, ready, is a heartfelt response that we give God that places value on Him and all that He is. I know where my next lines are here, and that's why I'm excited, but I want to give this to you bit by bit. Praise and worship is the heartfelt response So praise and worship isn't the song. It's the heart. Praise and worship is not the clapping of the hands. It's the heart. Praise and worship isn't the dance. It's the heart. And I want you to get that. And we're, I know some of you are going, but then they say, clap your hands in the Lord, all you people, shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Doesn't say, dance unto the Lord. Doesn't say all the kind of stuff. Yeah. Let's see. I think this is up here in a second. It is up here in a second. I just don't see it on my notes right now. Galatians chapter 5, verse 23 says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. The fruit of the Spirit is. Now, how often have we spent in our life that said, well, this is how Christians act. This is what Christians should do. Christians should love. Christians should. And what we're looking for is the same thing as a worship pastor going, come on, everybody, clap your hands. Lift up those heavy hands that weigh that hang down. Lift them up. Come on, lift. Everybody lift them up. Sir back there in the back, lift up your hands. You know who I'm talking to. Lift up your hands. Can't believe you guys. I have to tell you what to do. And we're looking for an outward result. And God's saying, no. It's the fruit of the Spirit. You know what an apple tree doesn't do? Try to grow apples. I had never seen, I wouldn't know it if I saw it, but I've never seen an apple tree stress over whether or not he's going to produce apples. Oh Lord, I hope oranges don't come on me this year. I heard of an apple tree down south, and he was just being a good old apple tree, and then one year oranges popped up on him, and I sure hope that's not me because that would be so embarrassing. That would be the worst thing in the world if oranges happened to pop up. No apple tree ever had that stress on it. Apple trees do what? They just produce apples. And when Christians start stressing over love and joy and patience and goodness and kindness, and they're stressing over that, you're stressing over the wrong stuff. Because you're stressing over the outside stuff and the fruit. Fruit never, ever flows from the outside in. Fruit always flows from the inside out. Always. It flows from the root system. And so when you're having a problem, hallelujah. Hope I'm going to start getting some good amens here, because when you're having a problem with the outward results, it's not because you're not trying hard enough to walk in love. It comes down to inside relationship. It comes down to intimacy. It comes down to that time with God. And so that same exact thing is what worship and praise is. When people don't want to clap their hands, their hands are too heavy. Oh, I've been there. I've been there where my hands are heavy. And I'm like, I don't feel like clapping my hands. It's not because, yes, sometimes I do that because sometimes it's a sacrifice. Sometimes you got to do something to stir something. But when it just doesn't flow, clap your hands, raise your hands. Close your eyes. Be intimate. Sing. Sing a song of victory. Sing a song of praise. When those things don't flow out of you, it's not because of you not trying, I just didn't want to do it today. It's because praise and worship flows from within, flows from the inside out. The clapping of your hands is an external result of your heartfelt response. Shouting is an external result of a heartfelt response. Singing is an outward result of a heartfelt response. You seeing this? And you know, I don't know about that. I'll show you more and more here.
Hallelujah.
When you don't respect and honor and participate in praise and worship, you're revealing the value that's in you for it. Praise and worship are heartfelt responses. They flow from the spirit to the outside. I'm saying what I've just said here, but I'm saying praise and worship isn't just singing, dancing, lifting hands, or shouting. It's a response. Those are responses to the praise and the worship and the value that's inside of you. Those are responses to what you value. A couple years ago, we had Matthew Holleran. You guys know Matthew, the beard. We had him live with us for a school year. He lived in Ryan's room when Ryan was up at college. And it was fun. We enjoyed it. Matthew was a good roommate. And during the, I don't know what I did wrong with Ryan. Probably 99% of what I did with Ryan is pretty good. He's a pretty good kid, but he can't cheer for Kentucky Wildcats. And I messed up somehow there. But Matthew gave me a Wildcat buddy to watch Wildcat games with. I just wasn't, emphasis on wild, right? I wasn't ready for his passion. Now Jessica, when I watch with Jessica, I'll get a little upset sometimes, and I'll get a little bit, she'll sit over there and she goes, what do the referees do now? What are they? I was like, don't patronize me. But Matt, him and his Kentucky Wildcats are BFFs. Never to be separated. Don't mess with a man's Kentucky Wildcats. And I would sit there and I'd be in my big chair, and I'd sit back there and be watching. He'd be on his, kind of on the couch. He literally brought the definition of being on the edge of your seat to life. And he'd be pacing. He did more pacing than John Calipari does on the sidelines. I'm not kidding you. I'm just not kidding you. Am I kidding there, Jessica? I mean, he would verbally yell at the TV. What are you doing? Stop that. I can't believe you stopped that. But you know, there was none of that that he had to sit there and say, oh, I need to stand up now. Woo! Oh, I better hoop and holler. Woo, woo, woo! You know, oh, Pastor Tad's not doing anything. I won't do anything. No, he had such value on the inside of him for the Kentucky Wildcats that when he watched that game, when he found himself in the middle of that game, he could not help but to shout. He could not help but to stand up and raise his hands up in the air. He could not help but to dance when he got, yeah! He couldn't help it because it's what was inside of him. Are you starting to catch a little bit of what people are missing? Why they consider praise and worship just the introduction to everything? It's because it has become a, well, if we don't clap, better clap. If I don't raise my hands, better raise my hands. But man, when that stuff just bubbles up, that's where that true praise and worship kicks in. Are you ready to go to John chapter 4 yet? I have given you more than enough time, now that we're about out of time, to turn there. So if you're not in John chapter 4 yet, you just don't want to be. See, there's a hunger that God has placed inside of us for value, to value stuff, for real worship. And when real worship, catch this, when real worship and value is in a person, There needs to be no manipulation. The pastor does not have to guilt you into doing anything. There needs to be no cheerleading. Have you ever found when you go to a game that's boring, that you're not really into, your attention goes to a lot of other things? You might watch the cheerleaders getting hoisted up on the... But when you go to a game that really has your interest, you don't need all the... I don't need any cheerleaders. Just play the game. When Ryan played at Rupp Arena at the beginning of the last year, and cheerleaders were good. They were entertaining. They did all that. I didn't need all that stuff. I was there for one thing. I was there when my son knocked down a three. I stood up and raised my hand and said, "Yeah! Woo!" When Thomas More Saints did something good, "Woo!" All the peripheral stuff may have been important to people there that really didn't care about the stuff going on. But for me, being there for what I valued was most important. See, this goes into what we've been talking about on Wednesday nights. We talked about this about that intimacy with God. Man, when we start getting into that, beloved, there's going to be an anticipation, a draw into the corporate setting where it's time. Let's praise the Lord now. Jessica, quit talking to Pastor Lisa. Jessica, quit holding the babies. It's time to praise the Lord. She has to get it before service because I get them after service. So, are you in John 4? Let's go to John 4:23. You may know, you recognize this. But I want you to read it in light of what we've just said. But the hour cometh, and the hour is now. See, things have changed. There was a time. Remember, he's talking here to the lady at the well, and she was talking about how her fathers had come and worshipped at this mountain, and had traveled to go to certain places and worship there. And there were ways that you had to worship. There were things that you had to do. There were outside things that had to be accomplished in order for the worship to be fulfilled. You had to do things on the outside to fulfill your inside. And Jesus looks at her and says, "The hour cometh," and we've entered into that hour, "when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." According to the word is how they need to worship Him. The New Living Translation reads it like this. Verse 23. "But the time is coming, indeed it's here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, and the Father is looking for those who will worship Him in that way." God says, when I laid down the law on how you needed to worship Me, y'all did a good job. But we've entered into a new area that it's not rules and regulations. It's not external that determines the internal. It's the spirit man that determines the external. It's what's on the inside that directs what's on the outside. And again, I'll say it like this because I think this is a great way to say it. God wants us to worship Him from the inside out, not from the outside in. He wants our praise and worship to be an overflow. That's why I love that line in that song. It says, "It's the overflow of the forgiven soul." talking about the dance and the shout, right? It's the overflow. God wants us to worship Him from the overflow from what's inside of us, not from the dictates of what we have to do on the outside. Now again, does that mean we don't have to clap our hands? No, it's just that the clapping of hands is going to come from the overflow of the inside. It's not going to come because, well, got to clap my hands. Pastor Thad and Elise are clapping their hands, and I don't want to be the only one not clapping my hands. You're going to raise my hand? You're going to raise your hands? Well, it looks like two or three of them are raising their hands, so I'll go ahead and raise my hands because I... Have you ever raised your hands? You don't have to answer this. Without looking around to see if someone else is raising their hands? Now, I would hope so. I know that was kind of a redundant question where I would hope that's the case. But you know it's okay to raise your hands when no one else is. Now again, we don't, when everything's really quiet and intimate, we don't go, woo, you know, kind of be like on a romantic date with your significant other, go, hey baby, ah, you know, that was unnecessary. So we do things in order. But we worship Him from the inside out. Now we're going to get into more stuff because, again, I'm out of time. Well, I'll share one more scripture with you. But then we're going to get into some heavier, some deeper stuff regarding praise and worship next week, which is really cool. And I hope the Holy Spirit helped me teach this because there was a lot on here and a lot in the beginning of it. I think some people think I was throwing everybody under the bus, and I really wasn't. It was just, it's the fact that we, when you understand the value of what we're doing here in praise and worship, that nothing else seems as important as getting here. And so, all right, go to, Matthew 15. When you truly honor God, beloved, and have Him at the center of your being, and already have spent that time with Him, praise and worship will be a product of your spirit. Not just something that you... I could make any apple tree an orange tree. You give me enough duct tape and enough oranges. Yeah, it can be grabbed. Yeah. Yeah. Give me enough duct tape and oranges. I make any tree look like it doesn't mean it is. Matthew 15, verse 8. And this is, there's discussion between the religious people and Jesus about His disciples. He's like, man, why don't you control your disciples? They're not washing their hands. They're not doing ceremonial stuff like they should do, right? And Jesus answers them. He says a couple things. Then verse 8, He says, this people, talking about the people in general, draweth nigh unto me with their mouth. So on the outside, looks like they got it rocking and rolling. On the outside, they honoreth me with their lips. I mean, they are kicking it and they are sounding good. Honestly, if this would have been a lot of praise and worship bands around the country, Jesus would have said, man, you guys were talented. You guys hit all the arpeggios and I don't know what other ones. That was the only big word I knew. All you guys hit all of them perfectly. When you were supposed to get loud, you got loud. When you were supposed to get quiet, you got quiet. When you were supposed to syncopate a beat, you syncopated that beat. When you changed songs, you moved from song to song. Man, on the outside, you guys were tremendous. But see, Jesus didn't stop there, did He? But your hearts are far from me. But in vain you worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. In other words, you weren't teaching relationship. You're teaching doctrines that you've got to do this and got to do that. So the outside looked really polished. But the insides weren't. And praise and worship, if it's just about the entertainment value, is not worth anything. But when it becomes about the intimacy, that's where we put our value, where it needs to be. God wants our hearts. He wants us focused on Him. God is looking for these worshipers that worship Him from the inside out. Everything motivated by love, by intimacy, by reverence for Him. And if God desires you, listen, okay, first of all, what's He looking for? Worshipers that worship from the inside out. And if God desires you to have the God kind of life and abundance, and He does, thank you, and He chooses you to be a worshiper from the inside out, then then that must be the effect that worship will have on you, to bring you the God kind of life and abundance. And it is. And that's what we're going to get into next week. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's stand together. Bill Johnson says this, as you're standing. He says, we are transformed according to our time and exposure to the glory, which is manifested in the presence of King Jesus. Every time we take a moment to rest in adoration of Him, there is a seeing of Him taking place. Amen? And just simple thing, when we're worshiping from the inside out, there will be a manifestation of Him doing what He wants to do in us. Amen? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we just raised our hands for a few minutes here as we close this message and prepare to go get some food, our growling bellies. But Father, we take a few minutes here without the music, without even a song, and we just worship You. We just praise You. We just declare our love, declare our affection for You, how we love You. How we magnify Your name. We lift You up. You're so worthy of our praise, so worthy to be exalted. There's none like You. For all the blessings and all the gifts that You've given to us, for all the promises that we have, for who You are, our shepherd, our ever-present help in time of trouble, our secret place. You're our most high God. You are our healer, our provider for everything. You are our righteousness, our sanctification. For everything that You are, Lord, we just begin just loving on You. You're so worthy to be lifted up, so worthy to be exalted. Oh, we love You, we love You, we love You, we love You. Thank You for Your presence. Thank You for Your goodness. Lord, I pray this morning that this message, and again, I know that so much of this just came to me this morning in organization from the throne of God as I sat down at that laptop and I began typing it out. Goodness gracious, Lord. It came quick and it came strong. But I pray, Father, that what's revelation to some people can be somewhat difficult to express. And I pray, Father, that in that translation from the Spirit to the paper, to me, to my mouth, to the hearts of this body of believers, Father, that this is not just stuff. It's not just words. It's not just an hour that Pastor Thad gave to them, but that it becomes life-giving revelation regarding the praise and worship. That, Father, you are calling us, Father, not to just clap our hands and stomp our feet and wave our hands around in the air. You're not calling us just to that. You're calling us to worship You in spirit and in truth, according to Your word, according to Your promises, according to Your ways, flowing from the inside out. Because it's when we find that place that burdens are removed and yokes are destroyed. It's when we find that place that we'll never be the same again. Hallelujah. So Father, draw us a little closer. Bring us a little deeper into Your blessings and into Your goodness. We love You. We praise You for it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.